Hey guys, welcome to season 4 of Newsprint Commando. I'm your host, Ed Moore. A little bit of housekeeping here real quick up front. For those of you that are familiar with the show from the past, I typically have tried to cover as many different books from as many different producers as I can, or I guess publishers would be book talk. But this season, I think I'm going to focus in on one universe for varied reasons. I'm going to be looking at Brian Polito's Chaos comics, starting with Lady Death Chaos Rules that he dropped on Kickstarter in February. Well, he might have started it in late 2014, but the indicia indicates February 2015. So typically what Polito does, and I apologize, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. What he does is he kickstarts his books, and then a couple months after fulfillment, they show up in previews and they're available mass market. So that is where we're starting this season. Now, for those of you that are familiar with Lady Death and have questions, what few answers I'm going to get into here, because it's a much longer story than really I want to take time for. But on coffincomics.com under the FAQ, the question was, what happened to Lady Death from Avatar Press and Boundless Comics? And their answer is, Lady Death stories were published by Avatar Press and Boundless Comics from 2004 to 2015. For all intents and purposes, these stories represent a dream state experienced by Lady Death between the events of her original Chaos Comics series, which the character ran from 1994 to 2002, and the events of the debut Coffin Comics Lady Death title, Chaos Rules, in 2015. As such, we do not consider these stories to be canon. Coffin Comics is the new permanent home of Lady Death under the careful supervision of creator Brian Polito. Accept no imitations. Now, that covers most of the question, I think, in a broad stroke. There was a medieval Lady Death that came out through CrossGen, I believe it was. I'm not sure where it fits in. And in the FAQs, the next question pertains to Evil Ernie Purgatory and Chastity, which Polito does not own the rights to anymore. And the last time I saw those, I think Dynamite had one or all of those. So that is the old Chaos stuff. Now, as we get into, and I believe that I'll be able to cover enough territory this first season to get into other characters, but there are 7 characters now that he produces material on, and he'll alternate or stagger the release of those in his Kickstarters as he sees fit, as the overall story that he's telling warrants, you know, however he chooses to. So this first, and any other questions about Lady Death, I don't know. I mean, you can send them to me, which actually reminds me, if you want to leave comments, you can go to the website, comicbooknoise.com/TNC, Tango November Charlie, in case I'm not enunciating well this morning. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address. You can leave comments there. You can find Teal Productions on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Twitter, and the News P Commando on Twitter. So I'll do my best to, you know, point you in the direction perhaps of answers, or because I'm not a Lady Death expert, I'm not a Brian Polito expert, Chaos Comics, whatever. I am simply doing this show, which I'm going to call Catafalque, this season on Newsprint Commando, to talk about Coffin Comics, because I haven't seen or heard anyone else talking about them, so I'm trying to fill that gap. This first book, and each chapter, each story, whatever you want to call them, has their own title. So it's not going to be parts 1, 2, 3, 4. It'll be Lady Death, name of story. Other character, name of story, as we progress. This one is created and written by Brian Polito, co-written by Brian Augustin, illustrated by Ziraj Verma, colored by Sabine Rich, lettered by Marshall Dillon. The cover that I have was illustrated by Paolo Pantolina and colored by Ula Mas. Now, any of those names that I missed, I am very sorry. If the individual or someone that knows can indicate a correction for me, I'll definitely make that correction moving forward. The cover is a cityscape in the background. The foreground, of course, is a very scantily clad Lady Death, again, on the cover that I have. The Kickstarters that he produces, he has all kinds of normal, risque, adult, anywhere in between variant covers, like, I don't know, 15 to 20 different variant covers that you can purchase. I don't know if those all become available through mass market when he does that, but I definitely know that Kickstarter, he does that. So, Lady Death is a very pale, very, very pale skinned lady with long, whitish, silver hair. And that alludes back to some aspect of her history. Again, I'm not claiming to be all knowledgeable in Lady Death. I'm just reading these books and talking to you guys about them, and hopefully someone out there is entertained by me doing that. We'll see. But she's standing in front of this cityscape. In her left hand, she's holding a scythe. In her right hand, she's holding a sword. She's dressed in black, which is very striking against her white or alabaster skin. She's got strategically placed skulls in the outfit, one right over her crotch, one in between her boobs down beneath them. She has a pendant that has a skull hanging from her throat across her, what is that called, décolletage, something like that, whatever they call that chest there above the boobs in fancy formal words. To me, interesting, though, was the pseudo wings that it's showing. The side of the wings that we can see are black, emanating from her back. The other side is black cloth. Now, they look like wings, but I believe, truly, this turns out to be a cloak that she is wearing. She must be walking toward us, the wind blowing at her from our perspective, spreading out this cloak to look like what one would presume to be like bat wings or the wings of some sort of nether creature, some hell thing. So we open, and next page is the credits and the indicia. First story page, we see a plethora of angels that are circling down, coming down from a hole in the clouds. Both male and female angels. The male angel is appropriate clad in battle armor. The female angels appropriate clad in almost nothing. I'm not sure why that is. Well, I do know why that is. I guess they're it's a continuation of the 1990s bad girl art, I guess. I don't know. But they are circling down. We see that one of the male angels is carrying a little gnomish or trollish, very small troll type creature, green skinned, brown armor. Everybody lands on the ground, and they land at, as far as we can tell, a coffin, although they may have transported the coffin and deposited it here. Through some application of magic, they break the chains that have wrapped the coffin, maintaining it being closed. And the male tells them to do it, which we presume is break the chains. And then as he's leaving, he speaks down to the little gnomish trollish dude down here and says, "She's all yours." He says, "Great." And the angel retorts, "Don't screw this up." At this time, we see that from inside, the coffin is being opened. Turns out that it is a coffin that Lady Death is in. But she is awake or is able to do this because the chains are broken. Not really sure, but I believe in the story we find out what has been going on. She steps out and is greeted. "Welcome back, my lady. It's me, your weapons maker, Brock." And he's a greenish dude with pointy ears. He's got piercings and gauntlet and brown leather outfit on. I don't know, maybe he is some sort of infernal creature. In the rest of the book, we don't really see anything like his kind, so I'm not sure. This must be a holdover from his from Lady Death's chaos days. Coming out of the coffin, she barely has anything on. It's the outfit she has on. She does have a cape. Her nipples are the only thing of her breasts that are covered, and her crotch is covered very, very low. So virtually no clothing on as she gets out of the coffin. And I don't say that pejoratively. I don't care one way or the other. They can draw her naked for all I care. I'm interested in the story. The art is art. You know, I'm old enough that I've seen plenty of naked women in whatever stage, books, magazines, TV, in real life. And so it's like, okay, yeah. Plus, I was a biology major, so there's that anatomy side of me that has seen female and male form. So it's, yeah. So they're talking back and forth, and we find out that someone placed a spell on her that put her asleep. They then must have put her in this coffin and chained her up and had her kept somewhere. The angels found her. They wanted her released. We find out later on by the end of the book, which also this is going to be a spoiler show. I apologize for that. I'm only a couple pages in, so if that's a turnoff, there you go. But the male angel is going to turn out to be Michael. And my knowledge of Michael is that he's an archangel, so that's pretty high in the angelic hierarchy. We also are introduced to several infernal characters, and I'll try to explain perhaps their relationship as far as I've been able to tell from this issue. Now, again, I am not a Lady Death expert. I don't try to be. I don't plan to be. I do have a little bit of knowledge of these characters from other settings as well, and that may or may not prove useful. We'll have to see. So they talk, and Lady Death is not one to be messed with, so she immediately says that she's going to get back at whoever put her in this condition where she has now lost 20 years of her life, and anything that she had, virtually anyone that she knew, is gone. According to Brock. So basically, she is starting over 20 years later, completely over. And that's probably a lot of that is Polito's wanting to start as fresh as he can. I mean, the character Lady Death has been around for, what is that, almost 30 years now? So she does have a history. There are characters probably that will be reintroduced that were part of her Chaos years. Again, we'll just have to see. I have read far more of these books, actually, except for one Kickstarter that delivered a couple weeks ago. I have read all of the Coffin Comics issues up till then. So doesn't mean I necessarily remember. I've been reading them since 2015, and they come out like 4, maybe 5 issues a year. So they're a little spread out. Brock gives her a sword, and it has some kind of runes on them. I don't understand it as a language, so I don't know if it's not meant to be read or I just don't have the knowledge. First 2-page spread, we're told months later, she's just wandering. She's got a cloak. She's got this big black hooded cloak. The hood is a big black cloak spreading out behind her, kind of reminiscent of what was on the cover. So I guess that is what the impression was, is that they were supposed to look like wings, but in reality it was her cloak, because it's drawn internally in the story. Her side of the cloak is red, the outside of the cloak is black. So she's wandering across the plains of, again, I'm going to assume hell. There's a large three-headed dog here, which I'm going to assume is Cerberus, right? Not Cerebus, because that's the aardvark, right? So it's Cerberus, the three-headed dog, guardian of whatever Greek, Roman mythology, whichever one that applies to. And she sees that a group of mounted individuals, some of them look human, some of them look creature-esque, are chasing after a human-looking dude on foot. So she feels that is unfair, and she's going to even it up by attacking the horse-mounted characters. And as she starts mowing through them, we see narration where she is thinking things. Probably the most pertinent narration is a little block here that says, "The tiniest hint, I feel alive." So something about her character, she relishes conflict. She relishes warfare. Conflict of a personal nature. Not necessarily conflict, you know, where everybody's arguing with her and whatever. But I think the more physical aspects of conflict. And we see that her sword, which Brock told her when he gave it to her, has properties whereby she can cause a reaction in someone that she has stabbed or cut to where they are consumed by, we'll say, hellfire. And again, a lot of this is supposition by me, because I believe that this all takes place in hell, and hell being not necessarily the realm that is described in a lot of religions, primarily Christianity, but hell as in another dimension. I don't necessarily pick up that Polito is making, although he may be, and I just may be too blind to see it, making really comments about Christianity, heaven, hell, God, devil, anything like that, angels, demons. To me, it feels more like a setting. And so that's the way I take it. I identify as Christian, so be that as it may. You know, it may well jade my impressions of what I read, what I'm exposed to here. But she can just, if her sword stroke doesn't kill, the creature individual erupts from the wound outward in this consumption via some sort of energy fire looking. Again, I'm going to presume that it's hellfire. She starts some sort of reaction, maybe magically, I'm not sure. She is a sorceress, we find out a little bit here. Doesn't use it too much in this first story. She is much more a martial aggressor. But she does have sorceress abilities that she uses here and there in this first story of the coffin universe. So she rescues this gentleman, and his name, he tells her later on, he doesn't tell her here, but his name is Wolf. And he looks like just a normal human dude. He's kind of dressed in maybe goth, punk, emo kind of musician gear, something like that, again, that I presume. Finds out that he is running from Golgoth. Golgoth is one of the leaders in this part of hell. From reading this one issue, I believe I've pulled out three names of rulers at different levels. We have Baphomet and Golgoth, who both claim either cities or small areas, but also there is a character named Satanus or Satanus. Satanus looks like to me. And that individual is a higher level, because Baphomet and Golgoth are in conflict with obeying what Satanus has indicated needs to be done. And again, some of this may lead back to, you know, the way things were set up, the universe that Lady Death was in Chaos, the Chaos Comics years, without, you know, doing a whole lot of research and falling into some kind of Wikipedia hole. I've just tried to put some things together just from reading this, and I will do that issue by issue, and hopefully it will build on the universe as well. I won't have to externally go to try to figure things out, or the places of things and whatnot. Full page spread here. She decides that she's going to continue fighting, because she kind of digs it after talking to Wolf. And this full page panel, very striking. Lady Death is standing here. She's kind of in a action-y combat kind of pose, but it is a still pose. At her feet are bodies, both male and female. All of them appear to me to be human. But what is very striking is that around her body, like numbers on a clock, are 2, 4, 6, 7 heads that she has dispatched. And she has taken the heads so quickly that they are floating and flying around her. And they have encircled her in this particular panel. Let them come for oblivion. She also has found out from Brock, also, I believe, that this sword dispatches finally, that these people who are dismembered or killed via Lady Death's sword, I guess, can't be called back. They can't be necromantically involved in anything. They're the final death. They're gone. And even some of the characters that are attacking, when they find that out, that they can be killed permanently and they don't have to deal with whatever their reality is, they come at her stronger, hoping that she will strike them down and kill them finally, and that they won't resurrect, or, you know, maybe that kind of thing is kind of an allusion to the way that hell is organized in the Judeo-Christian concept, as far as, well, and we do find out something else. There are categories of inhabitants also. I laid out the creatures that were in charge, Baphomet and Satanas and Golgoth. Baphomet is the dude that we see all the time. Here he's rendered with kind of a animalistic goat head. The character Golgoth looks more like the stereotypical demon that we have been familiarized with. Reddish skin, animalistic looking face, two big horns. Satanas we don't see in this story. But we find out that Wolf is an Earthborn and that he has died violently and been transported to hell. So that's kind of the Judeo-Christian definition and explanation of how hell works, which automatically to me means that if that's the case, then from Earth, there must be individuals that when they die are transported to heaven. We don't know yet. We're not exposed to that. I'm sure being that this is an infernally located story, at some point, heaven will have to come into it. I mean, we've seen the angels at the very beginning. We don't have any indication necessarily as to where they're from. As far as we know, in all honesty, they could be winged creatures that are infernal as well. Now, being that one of the characters was the Archangel Michael, that's not very likely, but right now we don't know, so it is very possible. We definitely are becoming more familiar with hell and the infernal realm if there are other realms other than Earth. Again, there's a reference to Earth. We don't really know for sure, but probably can assume. So they have won Lady Death and Wolf, and Lady Death decides that she is going to go to the city, and the city is not named. It's a huge walled city with a big monsterish looking mouth as the gate, and the gate is closed right now. This is where Wolf was from. It's where he was running from when he was beset by the guards of, or people of, the army of Golgoth, who is the ruler of, at the very least, this city that Wolf is from. So they sneak into the city, Lady Death and Wolf. She gives a little bit of her background, or he does. I'm sorry. He gives his knowledge of her backstory because he recognizes her. This is the first time that they've really like talk. This is where he indicates that his name is Wolf and indicates to her that he knows of her as Lady Death. Says, your story was legend. You renounced your humanity to save your mother's soul from Satanas. But Big Red always kept her out of reach. You and your crew gave us hope. Where you been, Lady Death? And she says, busy. Which we know that she was captured and put away for 20 years magically. And if I get a little disjointed here, more so than normal, I apologize. It's because one of my cats, Aubrey, here has decided that she's going to help me record. So she's here on my laptop and on my notes and in my face and everywhere, but in the microphone. So in the city, they track, or well, actually, the narrator takes us to a church. Well, it looks like a church. I assume that in hell, it's a church. You're just worshiping something other than typically what you would worship here on earth in a church. Typically, I know there are multiple things that are worshipped in churches. Don't at me. Just let me go, okay? I said Judeo-Christian, so that is my bracket of familiarity there. So we go into this church, and someone is leading something. I don't know necessarily that it's a worship, but these individuals may be here to worship. This turns out to be Baphomet, the goat-faced-looking dude, demon manifestation of the devil in modern contemporary thinking, whatever it turns out to be. He's a big muscular dude with a goat head on, red skinned, also scantily clad, but then I guess with the men, you know, all you have to do is clad the groin, everything else can hang out, it's no big deal. he is told that Lady Death has returned. He's not really happy. We also see the introduction here of a couple other characters. I don't know why or what point they filled, but one is named Krilla. She's a she. It's a female character. Reminds me kind of the Ragdoll character from DC Comics. Also, the character is stitched together, much like Frankenstein's monster. So it's a combination Frankenstein, ragdoll-y looking kind of character. And then the other, she is dressed just in some type of red bodice. Later on, I believe it turns out that it's a dress when we see her fully. The other individual, though, is a male, and he's dressed like a medieval court jester that has been fancified for contemporary consumption. He's got the purplish and orangish outfit on. He's got the hat that has four peaks that droop around his face, and at the end of each of the peaks is a little bell. So, very fanciful, I guess, jester outfit. I'm not quite sure in the medieval period if they would have been gone to that extent to color him up and everything. Maybe. I don't know. Never been there, so I don't know for sure. They're watching in the wings as Baphomet is told about Lady Death and gets upset. Cut back to Wolf and Lady Death. They're wandering, not wandering, but they're trying to make their way through the city. She has glamored them so that they are as hidden as they can be, but she says that because the residents that they are interacting with are what they are, that they will very easily, given any focus at all, be able to tell that something is off with Wolf and Lady Death, to the extent that they probably will be able to see through the glamour and see them for who they are if they know them, or at the very least know that they are not as they appear. You've got to worry about sight with infernal creatures, apparently. You have to worry about scents and smells, kind of, I guess, like Wolverine. You can tell that things are different, or that something is different if everything else is of one thing and something different is introduced. You can tell that it's different. So ultimately, their disguise fails. They are attacked again. The creatures, these creatures look a little bit more animalistic, less human-like, except that they are anthropoid. Two arms, two legs, and a head. Otherwise, they're starting to look a bit different. They immediately get to Wolf and clasp a collar on him, but they're not anywhere near being able to collar Lady Death as she takes everyone else out and frees Wolf from his slave collar. Watching all this are Krilla and the Jester Dude. Lady Death and Wolf gain entrance to the temple that Baphomet is in. She busts in on him just as he is about to sacrifice a female. Can we go so far as to assume it's a virgin female? I don't know. There's a couple other females kneeling at the altar here that he is at watching. Yeah, it's all very meme-ish, if you will. You know, all very pat as far as the presentation of this type of character. So Lady Death immediately attacks. Wolf is standing over here to the side because he doesn't have anything special about him. He is a human who has learned to fight because he's had to. And that's all there is to him as far as here. Lady Death, though, is a much more accomplished martial artist with a sword. She is a quasi-sorceress. So she... No, I'm sorry. She didn't break into Baphomet. She broke into... The Jester and Krilla are talking to Baphomet, and he starts tearing things up. That's why it looks like broke in. He had dispatched them to find Lady Death, and they've come to tell him that they lost her trail. Lady Death breaks into the throne room of Golgoth. She wants to partner with Golgoth to defeat Baphomet. So I don't think she has anything particular... with any reason that she wants to pair with Golgoth. I think her point is to start paring down the number of enemies. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of deal. So she joins up with somebody to defeat Baphomet. And he says that he'll think on it, go away and leave me alone, come back tomorrow and I'll give you my decision. This is an opportunity for Lady Death and Wolf to sneak off and have some adult time. Meanwhile, out on the plains of whatever this is, land, we have an image of Baphomet and Golgoth fighting each other with their big armies. Lady Death has been captured again. She is captured by the Jester, and he hangs her up in a rather difficult-looking pose. He takes her cloak off, which leaves her almost naked. She's got some massive thigh boots on. I kind of dig the boots. They're cool-looking. But he hangs her up here, and he's going to torture her for Baphomet's sake. Stabs her with a sword that he has, but he finds out that it's not Lady Death that's hanging there with Krilla by his side. It's Krilla hanging there with Lady Death by her side. She has translocated the two of them. So the Jester ends up killing Krilla, which is his paramour, and she then, Lady Death, runs her magic sword through the mouth of Jester, causing him to succumb to this infernal explosion. Next, we are transported to a huge structure suspended over someone's city. I'm going to bet that it is Golgoth's city. And this is an observation post. She breaks in, and Lady Death breaks in, and yells the name Seance. So here is another character. He is, he's light-skinned like her. He's got a huge bat tattooed on his chest. He's got big horns coming off the back, the sides on the back of his head, like behind his ears. Big, huge horns. He's dressed in purple and red. He's got a quasi-mask on, or maybe that's his skin that's red over his mouth. I can't really tell, but they get into it. He's a sorcerer with the name Seance. I guess you can kind of assume that. Here she uses some of her sorceress ability, but her sword is protecting her more than anything else. And Wolf jumps from out of nowhere. We see him, sneaking around here. He's got a syringe in his hand, and he jabs it into the back of the skull of Seance and says, "Let's see how you handle an overdose of smack." I don't know why Seance is, maybe he's the drug lord of this area. "My city in ruins. I trust this was your doing. An eye for an eye, sorcerer," is her response. I don't know what the drug is. Again, maybe that's a fallback to the Chaos Era. But he starts to fight back against this drug that's been introduced, and he starts tearing up his place, and it starts falling down onto the city below. He and Lady Death are fighting. Looks like everyone is fighting the final fight here. We all crash down to the ground. Lady Death has survived. Seance has been killed. He succumbs to the infernal eruption that everyone does that she stabs. Lady Death finds Wolf. He's been beaten up and eaten up quite a bit here. He's got organs hanging out everywhere. And they have a fond farewell, and then it appears that his soul, this must be the final thing that he needed to do to tip the scale to the good side, and it looks like his soul is taken to heaven because it is a bright whitish bluish, and it travels upwards when it leaves his body. So I suppose that is what that means. Lady Death is wandering around the city a little bit more and encounters her lost horse, Visago, her pet wolves, and her scythe, all of which we saw on the front cover, the wolves down at her feet and the horse off to the side. So she mounts the horse, riding with the wolves as her companions, wielding the sword and the scythe, and runs out into the battleground and says, "Hello, boys," and starts hacking them up. The final scene of the story is Brock talking to Michael. Michael says, "That went well, Brock. Does she know Michael?" "No, I thought under the circumstances, smart, but risky." Michael says, "We need her more than ever, but she can't be rushed. She must be ready soon." "She'll be ready, Michael," said Brock. but will she care? For all our sakes, we better hope she does. And that's, so it's freeing her is part of some kind of plan of, I don't know, Michael's, or at least he's enacting it if there's a higher power that's commanding him. Brock is part of this. I don't know if she is going to team up with Brock anymore. I don't know where this conversation with Michael occurred. Brock may be a one-off character as well. I'm not sure. The Archangel Michael probably will be back in various aspects throughout the story. So there you go, guys. That is my recap, anyways, of the Return of Lady Death. The artwork by Verma is just something to behold. Very, very dark palette by Rich, Sabine Rich. I guess because of where it is, being an infernal domain, lots of reds, like deep reds, ruby, dark ruby red, blacks and browns, and just very dismal coloration. Probably the bright point of any panel is Lady Death, because she has this alabaster skin. She has no pupils, so her eyes are white, and her hair is whitish or silverish. So she is completely a bright spot anywhere that she is in hell here. I don't know. I think that's everything. A lot of characters introduced. Brock, Wolf, who's dead. The Archangel Michael. Her horse has a name, Visago. I'm going to bet that both of the wolves have names. She just didn't use them here. The sword is named Chaos. I forgot to tell you that. We have Baphomet, Satanus, Golgoth, the female Krilla. The jester, they never, Polito never gave a name, I guess, because he knew he was going to kill him here in the first issue. Now, Krilla could come back, because it looked like she was just dispatched with a regular sword. The jester, though, was dispatched by Lady Death's sword Chaos, so he blew up and should have the final death. And then this character, Seance, who's an evil sorcerer, so he could be back, but he was killed by Lady Death's sword, so he shouldn't be back, even though he's a sorcerer. We'll have to see if she comes back. And I guess that's it for me, guys. Thanks for listening in. I gave you all the contact information at the top of the show. Again, for those who are familiar with past seasons, I believe that the Chaos books are, excuse me, the Coffin comic books are going to be my main topic this season moving forward. Not sure really that I'm going to be talking about any other books or publishing companies, but the title of every episode will be the title of the book, so you'll quickly be able to see what I'm looking at. See you guys next time. Ciao. Intro and outro music, courtesy of FestalianStudios.com.